Now, over the last number of years, and particularly over the last year, and particularly with the Dublin riots last November, the condition of the state of the atmosphere around the main street in our capital city has come into sharp focus. We've had politicians slamming O'Connell Street in Dublin for becoming a byword for anti-social activity. That was the Social Democrat TD, Gary Gannon, was talking about that. He was arguing O'Connell Street should be the jewel in the crown of our capital city. Instead, it's become a byword for anti-social activity, drug dealing and creeping dereliction. The unflattering depiction of Dublin's main thoroughfare was focused on prime time as well last March, and it came as no surprise to north inner city residents, businesses or anyone who passed through O'Connell Street on a regular basis. It's a sad decline of the historic and once proud street. It's no accident, Gannon argued. It's a direct result of inaction by successive governments and a toothless local authority. Lack of leadership is at the core of O'Connell Street myriad problems. The reality is that councillors only have an illusion of power, with unelected officials making decisions for which they'll never be held accountable. And the TD was arguing, at a minimum, the city needs a directly elected mayor with executive powers who will be answerable to the public to turn things around on O'Connell Street. Neglected environments allow antisocial behaviour and crime to thrive. Boarded up businesses and derelict buildings and persistent littering give the impression that the authorities have just given up. And this came to focus as well, obviously, following that piece by Gary Gannon in that primetime programme with regards to the Dublin riots. Columnists have been writing since that O'Connell Street represents a spectacular failure of what a republic should be. So what is the answer here? And what do, and the man, of course, O'Connell Street's named after, was from this county. With me on the line to talk about him and talk about it and his view as to what the street with the name of his ancestor now represents is Maurice O'Connell, direct descendant of Daniel O'Connell, one of the greatest Irishmen of all time, of course. Maurice, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me on, and good morning to your listeners.
No problem. Now, I know that, look, you're involved. You've released... 4 years ago, you released a whiskey called The Liberator, the first in a series of Irish whiskey from Wayward Irish Spirits. And with that in mind, Maurice, O'Connell Street, the statue was there for everyone to see. But I don't think anyone can deny, people who visit Dublin from time to time, people who live and work there, that there has been a decline, a sad decline of the street as a focus for Dublin. What's your view?
Yeah, I remember going there as a child, and it was really exciting to go to the Gate Theatre or the Savoy Cinema and for films and pantomimes. And I remember going passing Dan's statue on a double decker. You could almost touch him. Probably that's my childish imagination at the time. A few years later, when I went back, the overwhelming impression I got was of drugs and disinfectant. But then 10 years ago, it seemed to be improving. But now there's sort of open drug use there. Visitors say they don't feel safe there, and that's just contributing to the dereliction. There's derelict cinemas there. Nobody wants to invest if the visitors don't feel safe enough to come there. So it's a downward spiral, I'm afraid, unless something's done about it.
Yeah, and that's part of it. It's been, this is the other issue for me, Maurice, and I wonder what your view is on this, that this hasn't happened all of a sudden. I'm reading from a piece from 6 years ago, written in the University Times by a columnist. For most Dubliners, O'Connell Street is a 500 metre long, 46 metre wide stretch of sleazy pubs, rundown arcade emporiums, souvenir shops, fast food chains, convenience stores with the odd government building thrown into the mix. Just walking down it can be a struggle, and you must swerve to avoid the hordes of yellow and green jackets waving leaflets at you as they desperately try to sign you up for whatever they're trying to sell for today. And the Spire is far from being a source of local pride, and it hit peak utility in December 2015 when Dublin City Council lit it up to resemble a lightsaber in celebration of the premiere of Star Wars The Force Awakens. She described it as a bric-a-brac of a street, and that was 6 years ago, and it hasn't really improved since.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right there. It's Ireland's premier street. I don't know if you know, it's actually the widest street in Europe, apparently. And O'Connell Bridge, another interesting fact, is as wide as it is long. when I'm selling The Liberator abroad, people don't know who Daniel O'Connell was. So the first thing I'll tell them is that the main street in Dublin, Ireland's premier street, is named after him, and he's Ireland's greatest son and a Kerryman to boot. And as we know, being a Kerryman, as John B. Keane said, is the greatest gift God can bestow. And I'm probably speaking to the converted on this channel, but that's how I explain Dan to, I start explaining Dan to people. The reality, when they come here and see O'Connell Street, I suspect they might be a little bit disappointed. It is getting very, very derelict. There's huge amounts of advertising hoardings that are maybe not permitted, and there's no, doesn't seem to be any clampdown on that.
Yeah, no enforcement.
That just makes it worse again.
Yeah, and it does. So I suppose does it to you, look, the way it is now, does it tarnish the legacy of the Liberator?
It doesn't help, does it? But what can you do about it? The street deserves much better. In New York, they tried zero tolerance on street crime and any sort of social misbehaviour. But that just criminalises people, and I don't really think that's the answer. What I do think is necessary is more of a police presence there, so that the people who are dealing drugs on the street just maybe will stop doing so, and hopefully that would improve the street.
Yeah, is the part of the issue here, Morris, that it's a multifaceted problem? You have the issue of antisocial behaviour and crime. You have the issue of, I suppose, planning, Dublin's traffic infrastructure, the fact that Lewis runs through it, the question of whether it should be pedestrianised or not, and then the economy alongside that. Like, how do you create, like, the council can't enforce what businesses are located in a particular area. They have control of planning and they have an enterprise role, which means they should be able to foster the conditions in which enterprise can thrive. And they do have control over planning. I mean, they can prevent further takeaways going in there and already giving a bad image, a worse impression, that it's almost a disposable takeaway style street. There's a lot of different factors there from a lot of different government departments and not just the council to try and fix. So that's part of the problem here. It's not an easy fix to fix our capital city.
There's no simple answer, but maybe giving the mayor more power might do something to improve matters there. But if there's no police there, just there's no incentive for people not to commit crimes in the street. And we saw during the riots last November, somebody sent me a text on that day and said, "I wonder what Daniel O'Connell would think of that." And you'd wonder. But a lot of those riots, I mean, there are people with genuine grievances, but equally there are a lot of people who are just out to loot and take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue. It's part of the problem that we've given up on it, that people over the last number of years say, "Oh, Connell Street, it's a kip, I wouldn't go down there," and we put it out of our minds, that we're not maybe demanding more or demanding better. Like one of our listeners, they were up in Dublin a few years ago when our club was playing in Croke Park, was absolutely shocked seeing the open exchange of drugs on O'Connell Street. And that's for Kerry, some Kerry people, that's when they only go up there, they see that part of the city, because it's not a place that you're attracted to because of it being well managed and well presented with interesting stores or interesting attractions, shall we say.
There's a point to that. I mean, I spend a lot more time up in Dublin now selling my whiskey, and I go to O'Connell Street much more than I used to, so it's more obvious to me. We can't just let it slide. I mean, it is our main street. It deserves much better than this.
And is it time maybe for a task force? Would that be the answer? A specific task force, either within Dublin Council or across government departments, with a plan to rejuvenate, to overhaul O'Connell Street?
Absolutely. It needs somebody with a vision to work out what we want from the street and really how to get that. it can't really be done piecemeal.
It has to be done right across the board. Gardaí, planners, architects, traffic management, the list of things.
Absolutely. And our island's greatest son deserves better. The street deserves better. Kerry deserves better.
Yeah, it certainly does. Maurice, finally, so you mentioned you're up in Dublin a lot more now selling your whiskey. How is the business going?
Really well, thank you very much. We're in a few export markets now, and as I say, explaining Daniel O'Connell to people, you start by telling them about O'Connell Street, but he's got such a fantastic international reputation in the States. They all know a freed slave called Frederick Douglass, who came to Dublin to learn from Daniel O'Connell, and thereafter used to call himself the Black O'Connell. In most countries I can find some connection linking them through to the Liberator, which is great for us. We were out in Singapore last week at a trade show, and it's slightly more difficult to make the connection there, but we came across an O'Connell, Daniel O'Connell pub, so we managed to find some connection.
Yeah, and that is brilliant. Are we in a phase, are we continuing the phase with the boom in Irish whiskey sales abroad that we're maybe competing with and taking some market share off the Scotch market?
It's not just Scotch we're competing with. We're competing with the entire world whiskies. There are whiskies, nearly every country now is making whiskey. We've got to show that what we're doing is different. I think we might have a chip on our shoulder with the Scots over the years, but really it's not just Scotch we're competing with. It's the entire world of whiskey. And what we're producing is different, and we've got to show the world how it's different and how much better Irish whiskey is than the rest.
And that's all about, I suppose, messaging and keeping to quality, I suppose, and showing that you can do better, shall we say.
Quality is critical, and fortunately, I mean, there's no such thing these days as a bad whiskey, but you have to keep the quality up, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, listen, Maurice, thanks so much for talking to us in the programme. Good luck with it, and thanks for giving us your view this morning on that debate.
Thanks, Jerry, for having me on. Nice talking to
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Brilliant stuff. There you go. That is Maurice O'Connell with us on the line, talking about, I suppose, the name, the street, Daniel O'Connell, O'Connell Street in Dublin, one of the greatest Irishmen of all time. A long history going back to the 15th century, the O'Connell family of importing wine, spirits and other luxury goods from the continent to Kerry.